Hey everybody, and welcome to Rabbit's Ramblings, podcast 439. This time I have some rambling about a game I apparently watched a lot of reviews about, maybe 10 months ago when it first came out, and for some reason it never got on my wish list, and I never got it until now after a big free patch has come out that added a bunch of weapons and armor and did some changes to some quests and other things, and that game is Tainted Grail, The Fall of Avalon. And that's it for this week. Hopefully, you'll enjoy the show. So as an early Bunny Day gift to myself, during the Steam Spring Sale, I got Tainted Grail. And as I mentioned before, this was something that came out about 10 months ago, and I don't know how I missed putting it on my wish list, because apparently the main reviews I check for games had already shown that I saw them back in the day, so I don't know why I didn't at least put it on my wish list to keep track of it. I think maybe it was in early access for quite a while, and so I might have seen it then, and maybe the reviews were close enough to early access I was like, I'll wait a while, but I still don't know why I didn't put it on my wish list, because it is super good. The short explanation of what it is if you are familiar with any of the Elder Scrolls games, most people are familiar with Skyrim. The more recent one, I think, is Oblivion. It is the same kind of game as that, although I would say there are a lot of shades of Fallout in terms of there being some factions in Tainted Grail, and it seems like if you lean towards certain factions, you probably will cut off certain quest options or paths for quests that you would not otherwise do if you picked, you know, a different faction or side. I'm not entirely sure, but there was a few points in quest lines where I was like, oh, this obviously seems like a very big choice between A or B. I don't know what the difference is because I haven't played before, you know, my first playthrough now, so I will just pick this one and hope it works out okay. So if you are into Skyrim-like games, I would say this is definitely one to pick up. It is really excellent. A lot of reviewers will call it a janky Skyrim, although I question if that is really accurate. Yes, there is some jankiness to it. It is made by an indie developer group. Apparently there's only like 50 people on their team, which is a decent sized group for indie. But yes, in terms of quote-unquote jankiness, there are things like when you're talking to NPCs, if they are standing or sitting in a certain way, their clothing will, you know, clip through their body, or their body will clip through their clothing. So it is janky in that way. But honestly, the more I play, and I've probably only played 15 to 20 hours, which is a decent amount, but not, you know, enough to have seen the whole thing, I would say that the more I've played, the more I actually remember Skyrim and Oblivion having similar kind of jankiness when they launched. One big point that people might say it feels janky for is there's no mantling, which people who are unfamiliar with the term, that means that when you run up to like a fence or small rock, your character will automatically sort of grab onto it and then climb over it. That is mantling. In games like this, which are, you know, typical of older games or some indie games, when there is not mantling, there might be a branch on the ground and you're running forward and you run into the branch and you'll come to a dead stop and you'll be like, whoa, why is my character suddenly stopped moving? And, you know, so that feels janky, but it also, like I said, you know, is very typical of older games like Skyrim or Oblivion, you know, before mantling became really popular and as common as it is these days. One thing that will be very good news for most people probably is that I am on a laptop with a NVIDIA 3060 and only 6 GB of RAM, which if you're on a desktop, pretty much the lowest amount of RAM you'll have for a 3060 would be 8 GB. And I am running it at 1920 by 1080 on high default settings, and it runs really fast. I think I set the frame rate to target 100 FPS, and when I checked very briefly, that's where it was. So it is flying at high settings, and it looks really good. The combat is really super fun, and it's not super deep in terms of you usually just, you know, press a button to light or heavy attack, and that's pretty much it. Though it does get pretty deep in terms of how you fight. There are several different types of weapons, and so you can pick, you know, do you want to do melee, do you want to do magic, do you want to do range, do you want to sneak around, or do you want to do a mix of certain things. And the game kind of influences you towards picking a few different styles, because there are a lot of passive abilities, like under dexterity, I think, is sneaking. So if you're crouched and you're walking around and there are people who could hear you, your sneaking skill will increase. And so all of those kind of things where you increase the skill, you will get experience. So you are kind of encouraged to do all of the things. And at one point, I decided to sort of skill up some of my stuff I hadn't been skilling up and got a lot of points really quickly that way. So that was pretty cool. So you do want to not completely ignore the things that are sort of against your playstyle, because the further you get in the game, the faster those things will level up, and of course, it will also be harder to level those things up, you know, if they get super far behind. Of course, if they are something you don't really care about, it doesn't really matter, but I would say, you know, every now and then, level up some of the things you're okay with leveling up as a side thing, because they do give you, you know, more experience. So as I said, the graphics are really good. It is an indie game, and so, you know, it doesn't have that, you know, AAA polish or AAA quality, and it's not running, you know, on Unreal 5 engine, so it doesn't look, you know, super amazing, but it does look totally good. If you are fine with something like Skyrim or Oblivion, you know, it is in that same sort of vein and graphical fidelity. Of course, it is, you know, a modern game. It just came out, you know, like 10 months ago. And so it does look, you know, more modern than that. I haven't played the remake, I guess, of Skyrim. You know, they remake that every few years. But it probably would be on par with the graphics and fidelity of that. The music is really awesome. I don't know quite what you would classify it as. I don't know if it's Celtic or some other kind of song, but they are very tribal feeling and all sound really cool. And then a lot of the sort of wandering around music is not as intense. It's more, you know, sort of just peaceful and traditional sort of wandering around music. I don't know how to describe it, but the music is all really good as well. One big difference between Tainted Grail and the Elder Scrolls games is there are a ton of little skill trees that you can put passive points into. Every level you get a point. I don't know if that becomes more points in later levels. I think I just hit like level 30, so I'm getting up there, but there's still just 1 point per. I have heard there is no cap on levels, so you can just keep getting levels. I don't know, you know, how high I'll get, but pretty much there are 6 attributes. You know, typical ones like strength, dexterity, etc. And within each one, there are 3 or sometimes 4 smaller skill trees. Like under strength, there is a general sort of damage tree, and there's a one-handed damage tree, and there's a two-handed damage tree. And then I think the 4th one is unarmed, if you're going for like a monk style, just punch people. And so when you get these talent points, you can put them into, you know, one of these trees, and you can really specialize down into this tree and this tree and this tree and this tree. You know, you don't want to probably spread out too much, but there are tons and tons of trees to pick from. You know, like I said, there's 3 to 4 in each attribute, so you can get very specific about your playstyle and how you want to build your character in terms of passive abilities. I would say there are some tips I would say are pretty important that the game doesn't really tell you that would be good to know. And all of these are not spoilers, really. They will pretty much help you in your journey. One of the key things you will do is set up a bonfire, and that allows you to do several things. You get cobwebs from killing certain enemies at night when things get weird, W-Y-R-D. And if you spend 10 cobwebs, you get access to several different options that you don't normally have access to, one of which is access to your stash. And one of the buttons I did not notice right away in the stash is that there is a button to move all crafting items into your stash. I think I was around level 10 when I first noticed this, and after I moved my stuff, about 90 weight of what I was carrying was moved into my stash, which was huge. That was like 2/3 of all of the weight I was carrying, so my encumbrance was much, much lower after that. As I said, you are kind of encouraged to level up all of the passive skills that you get, like athletics you can get by running around. So you want to kind of do that kind of stuff all the time, because that way you get experience for it. So, you know, if you're not somebody who normally uses a bow or magic, you know, every now and then you want to do that to get the points to level those up to get the experience for it. Most games have item rarities, which are, you know, things typically like gray, green, blue, purple, yellow. As far as I can tell, there is a gray quality, which is considered junk, which you can sell all junk to a vendor. That's another button I missed early on that is really helpful. And then there's white, which is, you know, most of the items. And then it seems like everything else is just blue. I haven't seen anything above blue rarity yet. So be mindful that just because something is blue, you know, will have stat requirements and have special properties, but just because you get something that is blue doesn't mean it's rare or super amazing. Like, one thing you'll see quite a lot of is on bandits. There is a sort of face item that goes on your head, which I think is pretty cool early on, especially. It gives you like +3 critical chance. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my god, this bandit must have been some kind of special elite bandit. This is so cool. And so I went to the blacksmith and I upgraded it a few times and did some special stuff to it. And then I started seeing it dropping like all the time on bandits. And I'm like, oh, this is not a very special item. This is actually quite common. And then there are other things that I think are, you know, genuinely special ones that drop on specific bosses or elites. That, you know, like I said, I'm level 30 and I've only gotten one of those ever of that type. And so you can kind of tell from the money. Usually the value of those that are truly special are like 750 or 1,000, or I'm starting to see ones that are even more valuable than that. So if you see a blue item, which is maybe only worth 50 gold or 100 gold, it's probably actually a common one. And most games would, you know, label that as green. It doesn't mean it's not useful. It just means maybe don't dump a whole ton of resources into making it better, because it's probably just meh, you know, over a long term. So, you know, figure out what you really like and what your playstyle is, and be mindful of that, maybe. I don't know if it's really an issue, but some of the special things do seem pretty rare to upgrade your items, and so I'm always worried, you know, if the thing I'm upgrading is actually not that special and something, you know, later on will come along that's like way better. And it's like, oh no, I did that special upgrade part in something that was kind of crappy now. But I guess, you know, that's just a typical fun thing you learn as you play through a game for the first time. You will do that and then be like, oh no. Another tip is when you pick things up that can be read, be sure you actually read them in terms of your character. Around level 20, I noticed that I had picked up several books, and in the inventory you can see there's a little circle mark on them that indicate you have not read them. So I did that, and then I found a bunch of recipes and blacksmithing stuff that unlocked that I did not No, because I had picked up the book but not actually read it. So be sure your character is actually reading, quote-unquote, all of the readable things they are picking up. And the last important tip I would say is that you have 4 loadout slots for weapons. You do not need to put your tools in these slots. The ones that will auto-equip when you just go to use them is the shovel, pickaxe, and wood axe. You do not need to put those into your weapon loadout slots. There is a fishing pole, which you do need to equip into a weapon slot. I don't know why, but I've only fished like once ever, so I don't know if it's that important. But you don't need to do the shovel, pickaxe, or wood. Those will just automatically equip, and then you'll use them to get the resource. But then do note that you do need to push the button to put back your actual fighting weapons. Otherwise, you might wind up attacking a bad guy with your shovel or something. And that's really all of my thoughts about Tainted Grail. I really super love it. It has been the first game in a long time where I play. And then when I stop playing, I'm still thinking about it. And maybe I want to put points here in this attribute or that attribute. Or maybe I want to build into this skill tree or that skill tree. And, you know, I'm still thinking about it and wanting to play it when I'm not playing it. And that is a really good sign that the game is very deep and interesting. And I'm having a super lot of fun playing it. Like I said, I played it probably 15 to 20 hours so far. And I am not sure how far I've gotten to in terms of, you know, how far I am in the story. But I would guess I am maybe 30% of the way through. I saw a review of somebody who said the average completion time is 50 to 70 hours, but he played 100 to do all of the things. So I don't know. I could have quite a lot more ahead of me. And I hope I do, because it is super fun. And I highly recommend it. And that's it for this week's podcast. I don't know what I'll talk about next time. I might have some final thoughts for Tainted Grail, although I don't know, because I don't want to spoil anything. I do love it quite a bit. I don't think that will change. I'm pretty sure Bunny Day is coming up in a few weeks, so happy Bunny Day to everybody. And I don't know what I'll talk about next time for sure, but hopefully I'll see everybody then. Okay, thanks, bye. You have been listening to Rabbit's Ramblings. If you would like to see the show notes or feed the bunny by sending a donation, you can find the show website at www.rabbit.com/podcast/rabbitsramblings.html. When you type Rabbit's Ramblings, don't use a space. If you would like to send me an email, you can do so at rabbit@rabbit.com. If you like my page, you can also post on Facebook at rabbit.com. You can follow me on YouTube at rabbitdot.com. I have a page on Patreon at www.patreon.com/rabbit1t. You can set up a monthly recurring subscription there at a price point of your choice. Be sure to put the number 1 in place of I anytime you type rabbit.
Rabbit's Ramblings is copyright Eric Stryker, using a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Derivatives License 2026.